Welcome to Duality. I'm your host, Ash, and today's topic is honesty and grace. So, in general, I feel like the topic of honesty and grace has been coming up not only for myself, but for a lot of my peers and a lot of the people around me in general. We've been talking a lot about honesty, but especially grace. And, you know, before I get into all that, actually, I'm feeling called to play the throat chakra bowl, which I have here. Because sometimes we need a little bit of, like, you know, encouragement to speak up. And sometimes we need a little bit of encouragement to stay quiet. And throat chakra is all about the way we express ourselves. So it's not only with using our voice. That could look like painting. That could look like writing. That could look like however you resonate with expressing yourself. So if it feels good for you, taking a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth, wherever you're at, and just grounding into the space. And if you're open to it, receiving these vibrations from this bowl, I put the intention of helping us to clear this chakra, helping us to get acquainted with it, to listen to it, to listen to ourselves, listen to others actively, and to speak up when we need to have the courage to do so. And after doing so, having the courage to, whether it is to stay quiet or, you know, express yourself in another way. And may that come to you easefully and with grace. I hope. Just taking a moment to feel into your fingers, wiggle them around, move your shoulders around, kick your feet, stomp your feet on the floor if you can reach it, and taking another deep breath in and out, stating your name if it feels right for you, and calling yourself into this space in this present moment. And then opening your eyes if you close them and returning back to the space. And yeah, you know, it's interesting how vibration can transcend time and space. It was also interesting how it affects matter. You know, I have a tin lid for this candle that I poured. And as I was playing it, the resonance from the vibration was vibrating the top, so I picked it up, so you guys didn't get that feedback. But it's something that I noticed, and it's something that took me back into the table. You know, it's so interesting how different vibrations, like, even I've been getting reacquainted with these bowls that I don't even want to say that they're mine, because I just feel like I'm the keeper of them because of the mission at hand, which at some point, I feel like I'll tell you guys, you know, if I haven't already. I don't think I have, but yeah, you know, really just listening to them and witnessing how they affect other things. And it's like, of course, you know, as humans, we are the ones who are curating the vibration, because without it, they would just sit and give feedback. So yes, they can give a response to things if it's on the same vibration. But when we interact with them, we are choosing to push a vibration out into the world, you know. And that's why I believe for anybody that has any tools that work with vibration, any musical tools, they all work with vibration. You know, whether you're playing a guitar or about to hit a singing bowl or a tuning fork, like, it's so important to put that intention into it, because not only is that vibration, you know, going into you, but it's going into whoever is in the room, whoever's in the space, whoever's listening, you know. So I think it's always important to state an intention with everything that we can, you know, everything. We're human, we might not always remember to. But just knowing why we're doing what it is, even if it's like, oh, I'm playing a guitar, or oh, I'm singing, it's like, well, why are you doing that? You know, like, what is it? How is it serving you? You know, and how is it serving others? And just to get acquainted with that why, I think is so important, you know. But to get back on topic, honesty and grace, you know. So I had an interesting perspective of grace, I feel like, throughout my life. You know, I kind of looked at grace as, like, poised and... I don't know, I just think of, like, a swan, you know, like something super, like, clean and elegant and graceful. And I never really had that in my vocabulary so much, because I'm kind of spastic and a little awkward. So, like, grace wasn't something I really heard a lot or thought to embody, you know. And for the past, like, I would say, since, like, 2021, past 2 years, grace has just been coming up, and it's been offering me a new perspective of it. And my interpretation of grace at this point of my life is being able to navigate things with patience and love, and being able to be grounded while simultaneously flowing. You know, grace to me is a movement. It's not really, like, a place. It's a movement. You know, it's how you navigate through things. And I feel like Creator has granted me many different scenarios recently to tap into what grace looks like for me. And I believe that it's a cool space to be in, you know, when you can be amongst, whether it's chaos or uncertainty, the unknown, or, you know, fear, curiosity, excitement, even. It doesn't have to be all on the spectrum of negative. It could be on the spectrum of positive too, you know, and navigate with grace is, like, just, I feel like it's understanding why you're around whatever the scenario that is unfolding, like understanding your part in it, but not being sucked into it, you know. And that's my interpretation of grace. I think that grace is misunderstood for being easy. I don't, my experience is with grace is not that. It's not necessarily easy, at least for me. It certainly is, it can be easeful. And the difference between the two is that, you know, when you surrender, it could become more easeful to navigate, right? Rather than easy. It's not simple in the way of, like, oh, it just comes natural. Like, for me, it's active. Like, I have to actively hold myself accountable in that space of grace to not do too much or not do too little, but to just find that middle ground. You know, it's just another way of finding balance for me. And grace has really taken the lead of, like, words and energies in my life right now. So I think that it's pretty cool, because, you know, when you have a history of just, like, burning things down to the ground and being kind of intense, and you grant yourself the opportunity to get to know grace intimately, it could be really rewarding, be really calming to the mind, to the central nervous system, for sure. It's something different. And you know, that's how I feel about it. And, you know, honesty, I had a question prompt, like, how do you know you're being honest with yourself? And for me, when I'm not being honest with myself, there is, like, such a war going on within my whole being. You know, it's like 300 Sparta, like, in my heart, in my mind, you know, like, going back and forth, like, this or maybe that or maybe this or maybe that. And, like, when I'm honest with myself, it's like a whistle gets blown. It's like everything just stops. Everything just stops. All the chaos just stops and is like, what? What'd you just say? Because it's like this, the energy, the ops within ourselves, you know, that are there to protect us. It's like if you just face things as they are, there's not really much to fight about. You know, it's just like, yeah, this is my truth. This is what I came to understand. This is where I'm at with it right now. And I find that although that brings a lot of like discomfort and anxiety, like I feel like that doesn't start until I start including other people into that truth. When I have the truth on my own, like I might be like, oh, fuck, like this is where I'm at with it for real. Like, is that really where I'm at? Like, nah. And then like, you know, once again, denial, going back on it. But it doesn't become like viscerally anxious, at least for me, until I start thinking about sharing that truth, you know, expressing whatever honesty I've come to with myself or with others, you know, with another or with others, or, you know, just speaking it out loud or sharing it with y'all or whatever the case is. Like, I've had plenty of podcasts where it's like I've been so honest and after I almost have like honesty remorse, you know, and that happens in person too, like when I've overshared or even just shared things that are raw. Like sometimes it's not even the matter of excuse me, it's not even the matter of oversharing. It's the matter of just sharing something that's like vulnerable to yourself. And when you say that out loud, you know, you're leaving a space for, who is it? Brené Brown is like I believe she's a psychologist or a therapist or, you know, and just a public speaker and like mental health advocate. And she always talks about courage and vulnerability. You can't be courageous without being vulnerable. And I think that recently with a few different scenarios and situations that I've put myself in, I have opted to be courageous and to be vulnerable. And, you know, after doing so, I needed to land. You know, I felt very raw. I felt very like raw skin, like this skin under a scab, you know, like if you touch it, like it hurts, you know, like even if you're not doing anything to hurt it, it's just like, oh my goodness, like I'm a little like hermit crab going to find my other shell and I'm so raw and I'm nervous if I'm going to find that other shell, you know, that time in between. And I've just been opting to sit with that discomfort with grace and understanding and offer myself the compassion, the attention, and the love that I offer so many other people, you know, that I've just been getting reacquainted with giving myself. Because, you know, sometimes when we are so involved with things, whether that be a relationship, whether that be work, whether that be our family situations or whatever the case is, or all of the above, like there's, excuse me, there's other times that we like get disconnected from ourselves a little bit because we're just like operating from a space of doing what needs to get done in front of us, you know, and not really giving ourselves that attention that we might give one of our friends or somebody who may call us and be like, hey, I need you. And, you know, sorry, I keep on getting hoarse and I'm like going all on the mic. So excuse me one second. Let me like actually take a decent sip of tea and slow the fuck down. Okay. Yeah. Because if it's one thing, if it's one lesson that I have consistently have to get, have had, I want to use past tense because I would like to believe that I've learned a little bit more, is like just slowing down, man. You know, if anybody listened to the recent podcast, like, the story of me falling off a ladder and like all these other situations that happen, like every time I start getting hasty, the universe instantly responds and is like, hold on, what do you think you're doing moving so fast? Like you gotta go the speed limit, you know, here's a universal ticket for your actions. And that ticket comes in like an array of forms. And I'd like to just slow down and give myself that medicine, because slowing down is medicine. You know, staying with yourself is medicine, hence the last podcast. And giving yourself the grace of time to do whatever it is that you need to do. Some things may take a day, some things may take a week, some things may take a year, some may take 5 years, and others may take 10 years. Some things may take a whole lifetime. Some things might not even be done in this lifetime. And, you know, not trying to force anything is just important, you know, because when we try to force things, it's fear that it won't happen. And I feel like navigating, especially in the business space recently, like, I feel like I'm surrounded by so many different people that are very forceful. You know, they're like, you got to go out and get it. It's the only way. It's this, it's that. And it's like, I believe that's you know, there's truth in that. Like, you do got to go out and get it. Like, you do got to put yourself out there. You do got to do the work. Like, that's important. Simultaneously, like, that's very masculine, you know? So where is the feminine aspect? Masculine is all about giving and going and pushing through things, right? And, like, feminine is all about receiving. So if I'm constantly pushing and only coming from that aspect, like, hey, knocking on the door, come to my business. Hey, knocking on the door, do this. And, like, I'm only doing that for myself. Then it's like, well, have I also cultivated the space to receive? Like, have I put a prayer out there that whoever is my clients, whoever are my people, that they'll just find me, you know, and we'll find each other? I think that, you know, you can't just operate from that space, which I, you know, tend to operate more from that feminine aspect, at least nowadays, you know, rather than that forceful masculine aspect. But, like, a lot of times that masculine aspect gets a little bit out of whack, I know, for a lot of people, and especially for me, when it's like, when it's not being met. So that can look like not having masculine figures in your life, or not having, you know, that polarity surrounding you, and then having to become it. You know, I feel like a lot of us have to become it in our lives. And sometimes that can look really beautiful, and that could be balanced in a really beautiful way. And other times it could be a little out of balance and kind of cause a dissonance, because if you're innately, you know, if you're innately both, we all are, you know, polarity, yin yang, masculine, feminine, whatever you want to call it. If you have that aspect to you, you know, which we all do, and we're not keeping it in check and in balance, it could make us disconnected from that other part of us. So the more that we're forcing, the less that we're receiving, you know, and the more that we're receiving, the less that we are giving, you know. So it's just, I feel like that's just a thing in general, to have to be honest with ourselves to find where we kind of lay with that. And yeah, I mean, just like, how do you know you're being honest with yourself? Is like, for me, it's like, it's just that aha moment. It's that, oh wow, like, this just calmed the crowd. This, like, I could hear a pin drop. I could hear my heartbeat. This is honesty. Okay. And I truly feel like honesty is very layered, you know, because you could be honest with yourself about something, and it could be that, like, but you have to remember that that's your truth. That doesn't simultaneously mean that that's a matching truth to someone or something else. And sometimes something that I'm learning is, like, even just being honest in the witness of other people is sometimes all you need. So that could be the truth, and that could be where you're at. But even just stating it in that space could allow you to then let go and move on and go forward into a different truth and a different honesty within yourself. Because if it's one thing that I learned, when you repress things, they just manifest in a really fucking weird way. Like, they just, like, it tries to come out. It's seeping out of your pores, and if you're not ready to say it, it's chaotic and confusing and kind of weird. And I just don't want to have that, you know? So anything that has been coming my way, I've been really, like, doing my best to be patient with it, because a lot of times in the past I've been very impulsive with my truth, and I'm like, this is my truth. Everyone needs to know it now. I need to share it. I need to scream it. I need to, like, you know, let everyone know, like, this is my truth and this is where I'm at with it. But I've noticed how that has caused harm sometimes. You know, hindsight's 20/20, and there's a saying that honesty without compassion is cruel. And I don't want to be cruel. I don't want to be cruel to myself. I don't want to be cruel to others. You know, I just want to find a way to be transparent. And, you know, I had Alejandro on here, and he's a psychotherapist, and that's something that he spoke about. I'm not sure if he spoke about it on the show or if he just spoke about it in general when we had time together. And honesty is like, he's like, well, you know, if you're talking to a kid, do you want to be honest or transparent? And I was like, you know, I didn't really understand the difference between both. So I just said honest, like, you want to be honest to kids, of course, you know. And it was like, okay, well, if your kid asks, like, you know, why were you and daddy fighting? And the honest answer is daddy was mad that I wasn't giving him any, like, cheeks in the nighttime, you know, maybe don't be that honest. Like, you know, he was like, that's the example he used. That he was like, you know, but if you're being transparent, you can be honest without disclosing things that might be unnecessary to drive the point home. So then he said, if you're being transparent, you could say that, oh, me and daddy just didn't agree on something yesterday, and we're working through it, you know. And hearing that made me like, oh, okay, like, that makes sense. Like, because I feel like when I was younger, I was so afraid to be, I was so afraid to be honest about certain things, you know, because just fear of being perceived, right? Like, how are people going to take this if I'm honest? Because anytime I'd show, like, honesty, people would be like, ooh, what? Like, and, like, have such strong reactions to that honesty that I started, like, masking myself. And although it was still true to, like, who I was, what I wanted to wear, like, what I thought and stuff like that, there are certain things that I just didn't share. And then the flip side happened when, like, I had major trauma happen to me when I was 17. And, like, when I was put in a position where, like, my honest reality, the cruel and honest reality of my life was broadcasted, I was like, well, if a newspaper has the ability to do that, like, I'm just going to do that for now on. I'm just going to take the control. It was a control thing, you know, like, I'm just going to be control. And then moving forward with any other thing that would come up that was like, this is my truth and I feel it passionately, whether it hurts anyone or not, you know, I wasn't thinking of it like that, but, like, I was like, this is something that needs to get out there. And if it's going to get out there either from you or from me, it's going to come from me and it's going to be the truth. And, you know, I was watching this movie recently. I was watching The Lion King, too, you know. Shout out to my nieces. Also, shout out to my niece, Lena, for making me this beautiful necklace that grants me 3 wishes. So that's special. Stay in tune. You know, maybe you'll have the beautiful opportunity to purchase one of her incredible products. I love her little business that she's creating. And, yeah, getting back to it. It's like, I was watching Lion King with them because it was the first time they watched Lion King. I didn't watch the first one with them, but I watched the second one with them. I had came upstairs to, like, you know, talk to my sister and, like, see my nieces, and they were watching. I was like, oh, I'll watch it with you. And, like, there's just a moment. There's a lot of moments in that movie, first of all. I hadn't watched that movie. I can't even tell you how long. Like, probably literally since I was a kid, I just haven't watched that movie. And I was so happy to watch it because I got to look at so many things in a different lens. And I was like, oh, my God, I kind of relate to this. I kind of relate to that. And, like, I understand this. And, like, this is okay. Boom, boom, boom. All these stories and lessons and integrating it. And, like, there's a moment where, you know, Kovu, which is Scar's son, gets shunned. He gets exiled from the Pride's Land. And, you know, I was, like, reflecting because it reminded me of a scenario that happened in my life. And I was just like, damn, like, I don't want to do that to people, you know, because I can, if I get pushed to a certain point, my transparency has certainly become honesty, and that honesty has certainly been very cruel. And then I, like, a coping mechanism that I used to do was, like, revoke access, but, like, not even just from me, but like the spaces I'm in, the people I'm around, like I will speak the truth in those spaces for people to come to their own conclusions. But simultaneously, when something is inherently looked at as a wrong action, you know, or a not fair action, not just action, you know, usually universally, that's like a collective decision, like, okay, we don't want that around here, you know? And I knew that. And that's something that I was, that I had done. And I was just, I gave myself the opportunity to kind of like look at it from a different lens and understand, like, what if I was that person? You know, is that even the person that I want to be, having the person, having been the person to have done that, you know? And I was like, okay, well, it's time for me to be honest with myself and to make peace with myself. You know, I think that it's innately, I believe we know when we're being honest with ourselves. I believe we know when we're not being honest with ourselves. And it's just up to us to then sit with that space and give it grace and to give it understanding, to pour into it, you know, and give it that really good look. You know, like, we can hyper fixate it on any of these niche topics or people we might have an interest in or jobs we might want to attain, places we want to live. Like, we could give such a hyper fixation on things of that sort, but like, where does that hyper fixation come in when it comes to yourself? You know, I believe that when, especially when you're being honest or when you're being transparent with yourself, you know, sometimes it doesn't seem like there's accessibility to stay there because it's so fucking uncomfortable. And you're like, oh my God, I don't even want to think about this. Repress. Okay, I don't even want to think about this. Repress. Okay, I'll get back to it later. Repress. Because especially in this day and age when, you know, everything is up, like, it's expensive to wake up and breathe. You know, there's so many things and we're like, that's not a priority. Like, I can get back to that. But then days and weeks and months and years go by and you realize, like, the same shit is still on your mind. And you're like, all right, well, I need to give myself the space to think about it. And then after you become honest with yourself, you have to really get honest, like, okay, like, what do I do with this now? Like, now that I've come to this over and over and over and over again, like, what do I do with it? You know, whether it's something within yourself, whether it's something within another person. Like, I feel like I've just had, like, so many collective of things recently in the past 2 months that, like, few months, actually, even prior to that, that I've had to, like, just revisit from, like, a long time ago, also revisit from things that are, like, right now and things of that sort, and just, like, look at them and be like, oh, okay, what am I going to do with this? Like, if I know that I struggle when I'm repressing something, that, like, I tend to emotionally gravitate towards certain things, whether that's certain kind of disassociations or comforts, you know, if I'm more prone to, if I'm a porous person, like, for me, I'm a very sensitive person, like, as much as, you know, it's just that I am, that's an innate truth. And the people and the company that I keep affects me. Like, I know that to be true. So when I notice that the people and the places and the company that I'm keeping and the things that I'm doing are bringing different mechanisms out of me that I'm not the most happy with, you know, I have to get real with myself. Well, and not blame anyone around me, more so just like, okay, well, what is making you eat more? Well, what is making you spend more? Well, what is making you sleep more? Well, what is making you evade more? Well, what is taking you away from the innate truths and the ways that you want to live? Because if things are making you step outside of your integrity, like, I don't believe that those things are necessarily for you. And it's like, that can be an uncomfortable truth to come to terms with, because it's like, you see yourself in places, you see yourself with people, you see yourself in spaces that you have a perspective, you have a perception on that, yeah, this is good for me, or yeah, this feels good. But just because it feels good doesn't mean it is good. Like, pay attention to the things that you neglect. Like, if it's something that I've also noticed is, like, you know, especially also with, like, spirituality too, like, for me, like, it's such a center role in my life. And like, when I notice that I'm stepping away from, like, being as conscious with my consumption, not only food, but my mental consumption and like, what am I focusing on? What am I feeding? You know, what am I starving? And shout out to my friend Iman. Like, he put me onto this book. It's called The Art of Communication. And it talks all about communication is what you feed and what you starve. And like, to learn that dynamic, to get intimate with actively listening and speaking. And when speaking, taking a deep breath in and out and like returning home to yourself and then really giving yourself the space to speak from your heart rather than just coming from your mind. And, you know, I believe that that is applied to everything, because it's like we're not only having communication when we're verbally speaking, we have communication with things all around us. Like, body language is like, what is it, like 70% of our communication, something like that. Us moving and breathing and thinking, that's all communication, you know, communication with ourself. What are we talking about to ourself, you know, on the inside? And that's a communication. And like, for me, like what I've noticed about being honest is like, I could talk about something, you know, I can finally get the courage to say something out loud, you know, whether to someone or to a group of people, you know, even to the mirror. And like, just be like, shit, like, that's where I'm at with it. Okay. You know? But now, what is the willingness to do? What is the action after you state something? You know, sometimes the action is non-action. Sometimes the action is to let go and to have non-action, you know, which I'm getting intimately acquainted with at this time. And like, you know, then there's other things that are like, okay, yes. Like, there's different habits and stuff like that have been coming up that I'm like, okay, I understand why you came back. I understand why you exist, because I'm having this like 7-year cycle thing happen where it's like things that were happening 7 years ago or so kind of happened again in a different, in a new way for me to revisit, because clearly there was something I missed. And that's okay, because I'm just learning. And with that, I'm learning how to, you know, really structure what self-care looks like for me now in this time of my life. You know, I have different wants, I have different priorities, I have different needs. Like, I'm 27, like 7 years ago I was 20, you know, I was just a little bean doing my best to figure shit out, you know. And I also had a fluctuation of like purchasing a lot of things and emotionally eating and like these different things that were coming. And like, it's so weird because like for me, it's like, especially when it comes to my relationship with weight and gaining it and losing it and food and eating it and things of that sort. Like, I've been so aware of what poisons our body, you know, and the different foods and like where to source them and how to source them and what ingredients aren't great for us, and like going to farmers markets and planting things and getting acquainted with that stuff. And it's like, it's not that I've thrown all of those things out. It's just that sometimes it's the matter of, I believe for myself, it's like, if I'm really getting honest with myself, you know, here and being live and like whatever the case is, you know, whenever you listen to it. But like, if I'm really being honest with myself, I don't think it's the matter of, knowing. I think it's the matter of embodying. You know, the thing that I have struggled with has been the discipline. Like, I have discipline, I'm really good with discipline in certain areas, and in other areas the discipline, it's the application, right? And I've been saying, you know, for some time, and I've been saying on quite a few podcasts, is like, this, the year for me, for this year, is like the whole theme is like application. Okay, like you've studied. Like, girl, you've studied, you've read, you've traveled, you've learned, and there's so much more to learn. You'll never stop learning. But the time is now to apply and have it be for you and only for you, not because of someone else, not because of something else. Have it being generated from myself. And like, you know, when we are our own motivators for certain aspects in our life, when it's not the relationship we're in or the relationship we want or the job we want or the image we want to look like, when it's just like, I want to do this for myself because I love me and I know it's healthy and I know it's what's optimal, I feel like it's a very real place to cultivate from. Simultaneously, it's I've noticed, at least for myself, it's a really hard place to remain disciplined in that way. But I feel like the more discipline I get comes with the more worth that I give myself, the more worthiness of I deserve this. Like, I deserve this shit. Like, I'm an incredible person. I have a great heart. Like, I love me for real. Like, why wouldn't I want to give myself this beautiful array of fruits and goodness and do my research to get my supplements and hop in saunas and open up my passageways and detox my parasites and do all these different things that are, like, you know, so important and prevalent in my mind, you know, the research I've done on these things for extensively for so many years. And it's like, well, I was doing them. Okay, well, what made me stop do them? Okay, now not getting caught up in that judgment, because I feel like that's where I also have struggled, is like when I stop doing things that I innately like and do for myself for health, and it's like I stop doing that because whether I end up in a relationship or whether I end up like working too many jobs or getting burnout, and then like I get angry, like the first response is anger, and I'm like how did I let this pull me out of me? Like, are you serious? Like, I know what I need to do for myself. Like, now, and then, but instead of just doing it, now I have an emotion that I'm mad about not doing it, which innately makes you gravitate towards shame and anger and guilt and grief, and you're spiraling into the emotional aspect without the physical aspect. You know, some people, like, I used to have a little bit of a resistance, I could say, or like just very an annoyance with humans that just centered the body without like the mind, the soul, the emotions, you know, because I'm like, that's so imbalanced. Like, what the fuck? Like, we are all four of these things and more probably, you know, and like, how can you only just center like doing what you think you need to do to physically be appealing without taking into account that we store trauma in the body. And that's why people struggle with, you know, weight gain or weight loss in certain areas, or certain illnesses manifest in that way. Like, how could you like just throw your emotions aside and just like, oh, I'm just gonna do it, you know, because that's not the space that I come from. That's my literal opposite, you know. But at the same token, like, at this time I can give homage, I can give credit to that polarity, because just as sitting with my emotions and navigating through these extremes and intense tidal waves and things of that sort and ebbs and flows in that way, like, people can navigate that physically. Like, they can, you know, do certain reps and like work through them and work through different aspects, whether they're conscious of it or not. You know, when you're working out, like, you are definitely doing a lot of mental and emotional work. And, you know, whether that's being centered or not, it's something that's innately happening. So it's like, who am I to sit here and ridicule anybody for doing almost exactly what I'm doing opposite, you know? And I've been sitting with that for some years. And then I go back and forth where I'm like, okay, boom, now I'm doing Zumba again. And now I'm working out again. And now I'm doing that. And it's like, old habits die hard, you know, and humans are creatures of habit. And that's the first thing to go, you know, that's the first thing to go when I start to get unbalanced and out of myself. It's like that. Those are the things that I'm like, that are the least important to me. And like, what I want to center, what I've been centering, is like, you know, not everybody innately feels connected to, like, I feel like I can read books and hear people talk about how to work out like over and over again, and like, it's just like, I don't know if it's my ADHD brain or like whatever the fuck, like, it's like another language, you know. I need to like learn by physically seeing. So if I like look at videos and stuff like that, I do like the accountability of having a person there. So like, that's also another aspect that I would prefer, but it's not always like possible, you know, because we all live lives and have to do the things that we have to do. But simultaneously, like, just finding and being honest with yourself with what works for you and what doesn't. So at least for myself right now, I'm optimizing the fact that like, I'm very trauma centered. So I've been like researching and getting really into different trauma releases, different workouts that are specifically for trauma releases, because that is fitting both pockets for me. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited to do this because I'm so ready to let go of this trauma. I'm so ready to like liberate myself from this feeling that it encourages me to do the physical aspect, you know? And like, that's how I've been finding my balance and finding that middle ground and just being real with myself, you know? And I think that that's going to look and feel different for all different folks and like whatever it is that you're being honest with too, because that's going to only, you know, when you're being honest with yourself, people could think they know you, people be very close to you, they can, you know, have their opinion on what it is that is real and not real, but you really, you're the only one who knows. Like, you could think you know somebody, like you can even think you know the truth in somebody, but you don't. Like, you don't, you know what I mean? People are their own thing. Like, they're just their own thing. And, like, the more we think we know about someone, the less we actually know about ourselves as human beings, because humans are so capable of having so many facets, regardless of their history, regardless of their track records. Like, people can change if they want to. People can reinvent themselves if they want to, you know. And yes, like I said, old habits die hard, and the history does play a effect in like the present and in the future. Simultaneously, you don't always know how that's going to manifest. You don't know that person's internal process and the work that they've been doing. So it's all you can do is surrender to that grace and then just once again, pivot, refocus on yourself, Because if we're fixated on other people, you know, that's also a cry for ourselves to be like, we want to be seen because we're trying to see other people, but we want to be seen. So I feel like when you interpret it in that way and you're just like, oh, I do want to be seen. Let me see myself. Like, oh, okay, that happened. Let me hold myself down. You know, yesterday I had an experience where, you know, I was facilitating a women's support group and I had used the wrong language. You know, sometimes I struggle with words. Sometimes I'm really good with words. It's funny like that. I talk a million miles per hour. I could talk for days. And then sometimes I have no words at all and I get jumbled and I'll say every wrong word and like all of the things I'm not trying to do or say. But that once again happens when I'm rushing most of the time, you know, when I'm not like breathing through something and like really grounding and centering what I'm trying to relay. And yesterday I had a really beautiful opportunity to co-facilitate a women's support group, but I used the wrong language. And as an Indigenous woman, I had no intention on misusing the language of my people. You know, I had no intention on, you know, stating something was something when it wasn't. But I was moving quickly. And although I was moving quickly for good reason, doesn't matter, I was still moving quickly and I know better. So I had to just take accountability. And I'm very grateful that I have such incredible and strong-minded and strong-willed and hearted women in my Indigenous community that gave me a call and was like, yo, we don't support this and like how the way you're going about it, you know. And when that, and it was like right before I was about to co-facilitate it. So it was like, you know, of course, like a part of me felt like I got punched in the gut, but like that part of me that felt like I got punched in the gut was my inner child that was afraid of being misunderstood and scolded, that was afraid of being abandoned. My adult self, my human, was present with that conversation. I was able to hear it and receive it and simultaneously feel what my inner child was feeling and receiving at the same time. It was like I put her over my shoulder and I was just patting her butt like a little baby, and I was just holding her while I was having the conversation. I was literally going like this, like I was like tapping my shoulder and I was rocking back and forth, and I was just listening. I was listening to the women of my community like expressing themselves and saying like, this is why we're coming to you and these are our feelings, and you know, we love you and we want you to do the best thing. We also want you to remember, you know, that there's certain rights that you have to do certain things. There's certain things, and like, and not in a gatekeeping aspect. I want to like make that perfectly clear. Coming from the aspect that is like, you know, protective, not only of our culture and our teachings, but protective over me, because knowing like, yo, like, are you in the space to also hold this space? Like, is that something, like, we didn't discuss that, and that's not like me, you know? So it gave me an opportunity to reflect on my growth, because even in that moment when I felt all of that energy coming at me, like, not coming at me, but coming towards me in the way to approach me and to ground me and to hold myself accountable, I felt like split, but I also felt like I was observing the split. Like, I was just like watching myself presently and watching my past self. And yeah, it was really trippy, but it was also simultaneously so liberating to know that like I'm not operating from that wounded space. Like, I can receive something. If something is being relayed with love and with grace like that, I can really receive that, you know, because I've worked fucking hard for it. Like, I need to put respect on my own name and the things that I've done. Like, we're in a world that is, you know, I was just reading something yesterday when someone posted, like, if you are getting compensated for doing something that's against your morals, you are selling your soul. Like, that is a, don't get confused that that's not selling your soul. Like, you doing something you don't stand for and being compensated for, like, that is selling your soul. And, like, you know, we live in a world that's fucking full of that. Like, everywhere someone is trying to give you money to do something that is against their morality. It's like, you know, it's like Babylon. It's just, it's chaotic. It's confused, right? And I need to put respect on my fucking name for being able to, although quirky and awkward and maybe a little ungrounded, potentially manic times, like, staying rooted in what I truly believe and holding on to my morals, because, I mean, what do they say? The devil comes dressed up as a beautiful lady in a dress. Like, you know, that shit is everywhere. That shit is everywhere. And to be able to navigate today's day and age and still be like, I'm not going against my morals, or even if you have, like, taking that opportunity to, like, make amends with that and choose to not continue down that path, is extremely courageous. And I want to give a moment not only to give homage and respect to myself and my sisters, but also simultaneously to anyone who's listening who feels that, because you are the minority of human beings in this world when everything is ruled and operated by commercialism and manipulation and fear-based constructs to separate us and make us anything but ourselves. To still be yourself, to still be able to be teachable, to still be able to be accountable. You know, I knew my intention was to literally give support to the community here, to give support to the women around me. That doesn't mean that just because I didn't relay that properly, that I have any right to then come at anybody for being like, yo, this isn't it. Like, this isn't, like, we didn't discuss this. This isn't, like, the way that we do things. And if you're a part of we, then, like, you need to see that. In fact, I was very grateful. Like, of course it, like, brought up things, but, like, I was very grateful and I was very honored that I have cultivated such strong bonds that these women felt strong enough love and care for their own culture, and then also for our own culture, and then also enough care for me to approach me in such a graceful way, because assertive but grateful and graceful. And that you just don't come by. You just don't go. People will let you fall on your face and not tell you that you tripped on the rock. People see the rock and they won't tell you. That's why I be getting mad when people don't tell me to wipe my mascara from under my eye, because I'm like, you just out here making me look like a raccoon. Like, I didn't see no mirror. I didn't see no this. I didn't see no that. You just, like, you just out here just letting me rock with my makeup on. Like, nah. Like, no. Like, that's not cool. Like, why would you be out here? Why are you okay with having me be out here looking a fool when you're supposed to be my friend, you're supposed to be my partner, you're supposed to be my whatever the fuck you're supposed to be. Because, like, best believe, if I see a stranger looking wild, I'm still going to say something. I'm going to pull them aside so that they're not embarrassed. I'm going to be like, yo, like, I remember when I was at, like, I was out at some bar or something at some point, and, like, a person had toilet paper on their foot. I didn't know them, but I walked over to them. I said, hey, I'm like, I just want to let you know, like, you have toilet paper on your foot. There's no reason to feel embarrassed. Like, you probably just got stuck on you when you were in the bathroom. Like, I just want to let you know so you're not walking around with that. And although that man looked at me, like, very embarrassed at the same token, he looked at me, he was like, thank you so much. Like, and that's all that is, you know? Like, that's all I'm trying to cultivate. If you're not trying to call me out or call me in and tell me, like, hey, sis, like, I love you, but, like, I don't really agree with this, then, like, what are we doing here? Because I'm a fucking person very capable of error. And I will make mistakes. I will fail. And I will move forward and have my wins as well. And it's important to pay attention to those how other people navigate both of those interactions in your life, like your wins and your failures, you know, and then the space in between. And, you know, obviously we can't stop or prevent everything from everyone. But if we have any inclination that we can offer assistance, our perspective, we need to first deem that we ourselves are worthy to express that, and that, you know, also offer, like, hey, like, are you ready to receive that? Like, hey, are you open to having this conversation? Not just dumping it on people. It's like, it's finding out that navigating the in-between. And I think that that's just really important. And it goes to show, like, no matter how much you learn, how much you think you know, either you don't know shit. You know what I'm saying? You only know what you know, and you don't know what you don't know. And what you don't know is a lot more than you know. And that will always be the case. So why stop learning? Why stop learning even when you trip and fall and like, you know, like, just, it's maybe don't just get up and start running again. Maybe, like, you know, check it out. Look at your knees. See if you need to clean it off. Put a little ointment on it. You know what I mean? Give it a little kiss and then slowly get up and then look around in your environment to see how you got on the floor in the first place, so that the next time you see that same environment, you can identify, like, I fell here. I'm not going to fall this time because I'm going to apply what I learned. And to me, that's honesty, that's transparency, and that's grace. So I'm going to leave off on that. So thank y'all for being with me throughout this journey of this topic and this conversation. I'm going to pull from this deck that I'm going to give away when I feel, I don't know, you know, I feel like, not exactly sure who it's going to go to yet, but I know that it's not mine anymore. So I want to just, like, pull a card from here as, like, a parting to it. I had a lot of Oracle decks at a point, and I've been actively letting go of them. Shout out to my elder for really instilling that in my brain, you know, and I've been just doing my best to honor that. And, you know, this deck in particular, I thought was super cool because it's the gods and titans Oracle deck. And I feel like a lot of spiritual or mystic things is constantly tailored to the feminine gaze, which, you know, is okay because, like, right, we got to get our lick back in a way. But also, like, if I'm being, like, honest, really true with how I genuinely feel about it, I just feel like, you know, I love when there's male spaces and women take up space. I love when there's predominantly feminine spaces and males, you know, come through and, like, take up some space too, in, like, a really good and a really honest way. So, like, when I seen this deck, I was like, I'm either going to create a deck that has male gods in it, or, like, you know, because I always had, like, I had so many goddess decks. I had so many of them. I don't have any of them anymore. Actually, it's funny that I still have this one because I don't have any decks that have goddesses in it, but I still have the gods deck. And I would pull like one feminine, one masculine to like honor my masculinity within myself. And also for when I had clients that were males, like I felt bad, like, you know, if I'm offering a reading and I'm just pulling a goddess card and it's something that they can't necessarily connect to. Some men could, but like, you know, some men just couldn't find that resonance. You know, maybe they were more machismo or more like masculine presenting in that way. Like, and it's like, I didn't feel like I wanted to pull from that deck. So when I had this one, I was like, oh, I'm excited to pull from this because I feel like they're going to find traits and things that she can, you know, he can, you know, resonate with in that way. So, yeah. So I'm going to pull from here for whatever, whoever. In the best way possible, whatever message it is that we need to hear. And also, what is the last message that I need too from this deck to hear? What is the last message we all need to hear in this final session with this deck in a good way like that? Creator, I ask you to utilize me as a vessel for whatever clear and concise message is meant to come through for those who are open to it. For those who are ready to receive it here and now in this moment, whether here and now is today or any other day, for whoever is listening, may it transcend time and bring the message to whoever it's meant to in the best way like that. What is the energy to connect to this time would be optimal for ourselves and the collective? Garuda, travel. Mm-mm-mm. Travel opens your experiences and expands self. Whatever journey you wish to take, you are protected. From the great golden egg, the bird-bodied god Garuda was born. The cosmic shock of the crack lit up the universe. He was so powerful. All beings included, all of the other deities shook in terror. Reducing his size and energy made him feel more friendly to the gods. Garuda flew from the heavens, delivering nectar. One of the more ancient Hindu gods, Garuda is featured in the Vedas, the oldest text in Hinduism, and later in the great Sanskrit Indian epic. I'm going to attempt to say this word. I'm sorry if it's incorrect. Mahabharata, which has been compared to the importance to Shakespeare, the Bible, and Homer. He is much loved for his assistance to Vishnu in the number of his historic avatars. Perhaps the most well-known story featuring Garuda is the kidnapping of his mother, Vinata, after she lost the bet to her sister, the Serpent Queen, Kararu. Garuda asked the serpents that what would it take for him to free his mother. They answered with a hiss, the elixir of immortality, Amrita. The Amrita sat in the heavens with the gods, and they had it well guarded, not just by the ring of fire, a machine, or whirling blades, but also two poisonous snakes of a great mass and evilness. Although he knew the gods were omniscient and would know his plans, brave Garuda flew to confront them and battle for the Amrita. Powered with love for his mother, flying with super speed, Garuda defeated all. He extinguished the fire by sucking up rivers and spitting them onto the blaze. Diminishing his size, he crept under the sharp blades and ripped apart the two serpent guards. Taking the precious liquid into his beak, he soared downward towards the mass of serpents waiting for his return. While passing a cloud, he spotted Vishnu, who did not wish to battle the good Garuda. Instead, the two gods reached the gentler agreement. Vishnu granted Garuda immortality so that he had not need to drink the Amrita. The Garuda promised to support Vishnu by being his flying companion on the mount. Back on Earth, Garuda placed the Amrita in the view of the snakes, and his mother was safely freed from her prison. The snakes scrambled to drink the treasure, but Garuda suggested that it was only right to perform a prayer beforehand. As they did, the god Indira swooped down and retrieved the poison and returned it to heaven. From that day forward, Garuda was Vishnu's magical mount, whose speed and agility were key many of Vishnu's victories. Idea of the bird going through fire, not only survival, flourishing like a phoenix. It is part of Garuda's energy. Garuda is still a potent symbol of flight today. It is even the name of Indonesia's national airline. Thailand also uses Garuda as its symbol, but it is the Buddhist representation, which is a winged deity that can change itself to human form. Indian Brahmini kite, a small bird of prey, is considered the living representation of this god. Although it's much smaller than most large eagle representations of God, call upon Garuda when you are about to undertake a difficult journey or for protection while you're traveling. If you need to make a connection in flight, you are traveling for your own for the first time or even learning how to drive, Garuda will listen and petition and help you. His presence in your life might indicate travel is near and that a phoenix aspect that you will flourish after a period of trial and possibly hardship is active. So yeah, that's the message. I feel like there was another one, but I'm going to leave it at that because I'm trying to just keep it simple, you know? So how I depict this is, you know, whoever is going through any trials and tribulations at this time, anyone who is experiencing different aspects in your life that, you know, may have to have you face certain things, you know, that there is an uprise, there is a phoenix aspect, there is an energy that is coming out of it that you are traveling. Maybe you're going to travel physically, you know, maybe you're going to go, maybe you're traveling as far as in your growth, maybe you're just moving forward, you know, so receive that whatever way that that's meant to be received for you. And I'm going to open up to, today's the 15th. Yeah? Okay. I'm in May. Let me go to March. Okay. March 15th. I went back to being an amateur in the sense of somebody who loves what she is doing. If a professional loses love for work, routine sets in, and that's the death of work of life. That's the death of work, end of life, by Adade Bethune. Did you ever meet a person who loves their work? To them, work is an expression of their energy, their creativity, an experience that gives them satisfaction, challenge, and fulfillment. At the end of each workday, they aren't tired. At the end of each work week, they aren't exhausted. How do you feel about work? How you feel about your work creates an attitude and influences the energy you bring to it. Your attitude can be invigorating. I love what I do. I'm excited about the work on a new project or tension producing, I deserve that promotion, or tension producing, I deserve that promotion. Why can't my boss ever show any appreciation for what I do? If only you've seen your work in the terms of your gain, what you can get from it or how others can give you rather than how much you learn from it, grow from it, or even what you are helping to give others, then you are most likely to view your work as draining. The secret to fulfilling the happiness at work is to do what you like, not only because you can get something from it, but also because you can give something to others. Affirmation. What does work mean to me? Today I'll think of the ways my work encourages me to be creative and positive ways my work makes me feel. Sorry, let me reread that. What does work mean to me? Today, I'll think of ways my work encourages me to be creative and the positive ways my work makes me feel. Yeah. So that is that. Thank you all very much for tapping in and, you know, giving this pod a listen. I appreciate it. I think I want to make like some kind of on Anchor, even though Anchor is called Spotify Podcast now, they have like different ads and stuff. And I so you might hear that if you're listening on the next one, because I think I'm gonna like put some in to like drop some things. But something that I just want to put out there, you know, if you feel like you get anything from this podcast, and if you haven't already subscribed to it or liked it, that would be really incredible if you could. Really would appreciate that, and also would love to hear your feedback. I'm also going to add in the link, so I have questions. If you go to the Linktree, it's Linktree/duality, TEA. There's a tab where you can ask questions. So if you ask questions, you know, that question could be featured as a topic. If you want to be on the podcast, you can also put it in there. I think I'm going to do some kind of like application process for people who want to be on the podcast to open up that space a little bit more, rather than it just being people that I've picked or people that have approached me. And I just want to find more interactive ways that I can interact with you guys and make it make sense. So bear with me as I have the patience with myself to figure that all out, considering I didn't know anything about podcasts really until I had one. So here we are, learning, trial by fire, you know. So thank you again. I hope you guys have an incredible day. Thank you so much for being with me. Shout out to everybody live and commenting and still with me. I appreciate y'all. And enjoy your day, and I'll see you next week.